That's WTIC. And it is always exciting to be joined by former State Senator Tom Scott. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well, Todd. How about yourself?
Doing very well now that you're here. So there's all kinds of stuff going on in the news. Friday, a new proposal from UConn to give free tuition to students whose families are earning less than 50 grand a year. And there's the continuing story on tolls where the governor is trying to reel in some votes for tolls by teasing the idea that this federal money could be infused into the state at very low cost, but that would require that there be a few gantries installed in order to generate some revenue to pay for those loans. There's also impeachment going on, so we've got a lot to talk about.
Well, nothing is free, whether it's tuition at UConn or whether it's federal money. You know, the legislators and the governor like to talk about free federal money. Well, you know, where do you think that federal money is coming from?
Well, I think they're looking at it from their point of view, right? It's free if you don't have to pay for it until after the elected official who gets the benefit for putting it through has left office.
Right. Well, there's something to be said for getting our fair share of federal highway funds that come from the Federal Highway Trust Fund, because every time we fill up at the pump in Connecticut, we're not only paying the highest gas tax in America to the state, but we're also paying into the Federal Highway Trust Fund. And so, you know, we need to make sure that our congressional delegation advocates for our fair share. That's not free money. That's just a matter of getting what we're paying for.
Yeah, it's making sure it circles back.
Yeah, absolutely. And as for UConn, you know, the president of UConn would have a lot more credibility in my mind if he started exposing and calling for savings with the bloated bureaucracy, with the high-priced administrators that we have at UConn, with not a whole lot of accountability, because this great flagship university, and it is a great university, by the way, one of the great land-grant colleges in America, is a very competitive place. Students apply from all over the country, and some of them outside of America, and it's very competitive, and only a certain percentage get accepted. So there's no dearth of talent trying to get into UConn. But if he's talking about free tuition, that either means more money from the state of Connecticut general fund, which we pay for, or it means another tuition hike for those parents who are paying for tuition. So there's nothing free here.
So I wonder, what, as you were making that point, it occurred to me that maybe a new president at an institution like UConn is just like a new governor, say, who doesn't see himself as deriving any political benefit. In other words, what's the upside for me? If I go after people or parts of my own bureaucracy who are sitting very happily on big budgets that they use to make themselves powerful, and I get some of their power on my side if I make sure that gravy train continues.
Yeah, and let me say, there is a strong lobby for UConn, a legitimate lobby. It's not only current students and their parents, but alumni. And the sports program, you know, has quite a following in Connecticut and elsewhere in the country, as you know. And that's all good. But you also have these unelected bureaucrats, these faceless bureaucrats on the Board of Trustees and also on the State Board of Higher Education. I have trouble naming any of them, to be honest with you. And I, you know, some people collect butterflies, but I spend some time paying attention to this stuff. And for years, UConn has been above criticism. And I'm not talking about their academic programs or their sport programs, but I'm talking about the bloated bureaucracy. There are lots of people who work at UConn who we're not getting our money's worth.
Yeah, and there's also the part of that has to do with transparency, that there isn't any. And UConn gets a big budget from the legislature without necessarily allowing there to be any scrutiny, because it's all done in such secrecy. We're talking to Tom Scott, We will continue that conversation coming up. Continuing our conversation with Tom Scott. So let's talk a little bit about the politics of all this. Where do you feel that this fits in some larger sense with where the country is at with impeachment and all of the warring between the sides? It seems to get more elevated all the time. And how does that impact on Connecticut? Can we weave these things together somehow, Tom?
Well, let me just say, if I may, Todd, a final note on UConn.
Sure.
You know, we have academic scholarships now. We have need-based scholarships. We have Pell Grants, athletic scholarships, and all that. There's a lot of aid available for worthy, deserving students already. But what the president of UConn is talking about is some sort of a blanket grant or tuition-free system for anybody
yes.
who simply makes $50,000 or less. So I just want to make clear, we've got a lot going on already to make sure that a lot of worthy students get into UConn who have difficulty.
But this is the new thing. It, you know, it's happening other places around the country where the university system is being used as part of this payment to voters for Democrats to make sure that the core constituencies of the Democratic Party are getting benefits from everything that government touches. And it just seems like the trend now to be grabbing some part of the population at the low end of the income spectrum and saying, you guys get it for free.
Yeah, and it's not just academics, of course. It's healthcare, it's any number of things, housing and so forth. And some people on the left, I think, and in academia, are trying to redefine the word free. And that free is associated with a right, or free is somehow, you know, in the Constitution, which most of these people have never read, unfortunately. So, yeah, we need to push back against the concept and keep reminding people that nothing is free.
Okay, impeachment. Your assessment of where we're at there.
Well, I'll tell you, there are some polls out. One, I think, was the Washington Post. But a lot of the polls that are showing some growth for the concept of impeachment are the very polls that said that Donald Trump couldn't be elected in 2016. So be a little weary of that. And for people in your audience who support the president and who understand that this is a vicious attempt at a soft coup to overturn the results of an election, people need to understand that we need to be in this for the long haul. Don't worry about the polls. Don't worry about the pundits. Just understand that whatever Chairman Schiff and Nadler and these other people are advocating in terms of impeachment crimes and so forth are simply bogus. It's a fraud. It's a kangaroo court, as the president said. It's all designed to bring down the president at a time when we have problems all over the world with China, Russia, Iran, North Korea, and so forth. And they are weakening our commander-in-chief at a time of great peril in this world. And they ought to be ashamed of themselves, and they ought to be called on it.
It's remarkable to me that the polls are as favorable still to the president regarding impeachment as they are, considering the 24/7 avalanche of frenzied news coverage, basically in support of impeachment.
Well, you know, back to our first topic of education. If people in this country, especially people, let's say, that are 35 years old and younger, understood what the impeachment provision of the Constitution, they would understand that this is an extraordinary procedure that was made available for the founders for very extraordinary events, and this ain't one of them. And so part of the problem we have, especially with younger people, is educating them about the serious nature of the impeachment provision in the Constitution.
Well, explain to them why this doesn't rise to whatever that level of seriousness is, because the way it's portrayed in the media is something horrifying that the president did.
Well, it's hard to answer that question, Todd, only in this sense. It is so frivolous and vexatious what these Democrats are doing in the U.S. House of Representatives that it's inexplicable. In other words, there is no rationale. There is no logical explanation except that they are abusing their offices. And I'm glad that more Republicans in the Congress are standing up, and some have actually filed a motion or a procedure to censure Chairman Schiff for his outrageous abuse of his office as chairman of the Intelligence Committee. And so some of these Republicans are fighting back, and I think in the end, most or all of them, except for Mitt Romney and a few of these losers, I think most of them are going to fight back.
But the media position is that it's a gross violation of how a democratic government functions for the president of the United States to make a phone call like he did to the president of Ukraine and use government policy, which Trump controls, to affect political outcomes by getting dirt on his opponent, Joe Biden. Explain to folks why that's a fallacy, that whole line of reasoning.
Well, either they're ignorant about the concept of statecraft, or worse, they're not ignorant and they're lying every time they sit in front of a TV camera. The fact is, the president, all presidents since George Washington, have had great latitude to engage in statecraft and to talk to foreign leaders about pretty much anything they want to talk about. And there's no graft here, there's no corruption, there's no quid pro quo. The fact is, the president knows that some of the origins of the phony Mueller investigation began in Ukraine. And put aside Biden for a minute. I mean, I wish we could get past this concept that former Vice President Biden's name even came up in the conversation, which is completely beside the point. The fact is, the president was looking into what led to this outrageous coup attempt after the 2016 election. And so I would take your question and say, apply it to the Democrats in Congress who are actually abusing their office.
Yes, in terms of using their office to try to depose a duly elected president, which they virtually announced on election night that it was time to start impeachment proceedings.
And prior to that, some of these Democrats, like Schiff, conspired with people who were trying to undo the duly elected president of this country shortly after the 2016 election. And you know, there's a federal prosecutor from Connecticut, a guy named Duren, who's looking into all of this stuff. It's very much under the radar screen right now, but there is a lot of speculation that indictments are going to be flying around, as well they should, for these people who are trying to illegally remove a president. And impeachment may very well be a Machiavellian move by the Democrats to change the subject, because they know it's about to hit the fan.
Well, also sure try to hurt the people who could hurt them preemptively.
Yeah, well, let them try. I mean, again, when the president stands up to these people, even if we don't like the tone sometimes, even if we don't like some of the rhetoric, even if we don't like some of the tactics that he uses, the fact is he is standing up for himself, just as Rob Sampson on your show previously stood up to the slander that he was subjected to last week by the chairman of the Democratic Party. You have to go after these people.
Yes.
You can't let them play this game. We cannot not respond to
right.
The people who are doing us damage.
Thank you so much, Tom Scott. We'll talk to you again next week, sir.
Anytime. You bet.